Just say good morning to all of you. We're in the middle of a series entitled Living with Purpose. And by the way, if you are new to us and you don't know this, this is the time of year, at least up to this point, we've had our small group campaign. And so really what I'm doing about teaching you how to live with purpose is a part of our small group campaign. I come and speak to you about your purpose on Sunday mornings, and then we invite and encourage and would coerce, would twist your arm, do everything we could to get everyone involved in a small group. Because I'm going to tell you, God is into small groups. God, because small groups represent connection. And so we want you to be a part of a small group, and it is absolutely not too late to do that. And we're joining together, and what we're doing, we're learning to do this together. We're learning to do the purposes of God for our lives together. Can I hear an amen on that? Romans chapter 8, verse 29. I'm going to read from the Message Bible today. I don't do that very often, but I'm going to today. I think these verses will help me make my point a little better. But it says that God knew what He was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love Him along, listen to this now, along the same lines as the life of His Son. Now, I want everyone to look at me for just a moment, please. I know it's hard to do sometimes, but please do it. I want to ask you a question. And I really want you to think about this question because it's very important that we know the answer. Did you know that you were created to become like Christ? Now, I want to say that again. I know some of you are nodding your heads in the affirmative. Some of you are waving your hands. I know you understand that. But I want to make sure everyone hears the launching point today. Here's the main point of this. Did you know that you were created to become like Christ? Now, God made this clear from the very beginning that He had these plans to form us into the image of His Son. Now, again, I want you to listen very carefully because I want to tell you, this is what I'm going to talk to you about today is often overlooked and often misunderstood, a very real misunderstood purpose in the lives of many of God's people. And I may say this again today. It's the reason a lot of Christians today are frustrated. They do not understand what their destiny and what their purpose is. But I'm telling you, this is one of the primary plans. In fact, you could call it God's third purpose for your life, to mold you into the image of Christ. If you don't understand that, you go through life wondering, what in the world is going on? I've been there before. And I realize that God has a higher calling on my life than sometimes some of the things that I think He does. His highest calling, one of His highest callings on my life, is to mold me into the image of Christ. Now, God announced this, dear ones, in His intention at creation. Because here's what God said. He says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image and our likeness." Did you hear what I just read to you? God wants to make us into His likeness and into His image. In all of creation, only human beings have been made in the image of God. Think about it. I love my little dog, Ginger. Some of you heard me make these silly little jokes over the years, and you've born with those silly jokes. I'm going to tell you, I've grown to love Ginger. But guess what? Your pet, my pet, is not made in the image of God. I know sometimes some people fall so in love with their pets, they start treating them like, kind of like their spouse or their children or whatever. And in one sense, not like your spouse, but some sense, they are like your children. We got Ginger. Oh, Lord, help me move on. We got Ginger after all the kids left the nest. I guess it beats the alternative. Next week, we have no more children in the home. Next week, that will register what I just said. Folks, you realize what I'm talking about today is a great privilege, and it really gives us as human beings a unique dignity. Think about it. But there's a problem. This image is incomplete and it's been damaged. And listen, it's been distorted by sin. How many of you know that? Just look around today if you don't understand. Listen, we humans, and I told Tracy this the other day, we were in a situation. I said, it really breaks my heart that so many, I'm not even just talking about Christians. I'm talking about human beings that have been created to bring honor and glory to God and have been created in His image and likeness are living so far below what God has for them. And I've got to tell you, that includes Christians. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why. We don't understand God's purpose for our life. Maybe we will a little better, and I believe we will after this message today. But how many of you know this image that I'm talking about, where God wanted to create us in His likeness, has been damaged and distorted by sin? Aren't you glad, though? I've got some good news for you. God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ. He sent Him on a mission to restore us to our full privilege and rightful place. Aren't you glad for that? Come on, we need to give God a great praise. Now, what does the full image and likeness of God look like? What does it look like? Are you listening today? It looks like Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says this about Jesus. It says that Jesus is the exact likeness of God. He is the visible image of the invisible God. In other words, the Bible literally says He is the exact representation of God. Now, I know people image God a lot of different ways. Some see God as just loving, which He is, and all kind, which He is. But others see God in a distorted way. They see God as harsh and hard and unpleasable. But let me tell you, you want to know what God looks like? Go read Jesus. Do you ever see Jesus beating up on anyone? Do you ever see Jesus demeaning anyone? Do you ever see Jesus devaluing any human being on the face of the earth? Never, never, ever. So you want to know what God's like? Go read about Jesus in the Gospels. Go read about the life of Jesus, and you will see the exact representation of God. Amen. But guess what? God wants us to look more like Jesus than maybe we do today. He has another plan for us. Now, people often use this phrase, and maybe you've heard this before, like father, like son, to refer to family resemblance. Have you ever heard that before? Like father, like son. People often say, oh, you and your oldest son, making reference to Joshua today, you look so much alike. Now, if it's someone who's known Joshua and has never seen me, and then they see me and they say, oh, you look so much like Joshua. I said, no, honey, let's get the record straight. I don't look like Joshua. He looks like me. Any of you who know my oldest son, Joshua, we get together and people just stare and they're like, wow, they look like twins, sort of, kind of. Like father, like son. Listen to me today. God wants His children to bear His image and His likeness. Come on, we're going to go somewhere with this message before I'm through today. Some of you are thinking, man, I thought we were going to talk about something else today. No, we're going to talk about the purpose of God for your life. We're going to talk about being formed into the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to be very clear today. We're not talking about becoming a God or God-like. I'm talking about being formed in the image of God. I'm talking about in the sense that God has compassion. God has empathy. God is patient. God is kind in all those various ways. Do you know God can feel? God can discern. God can be hurt. Did you know His heart can be grieved? Just like you. And in that sense, we are created like God, but God wants to make us in His image in a more complete way. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22 says, take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately, listen to this, reproduces His character in you. Some of you literally, and I know that feeling, you have been probably this week screaming in your heart and saying, God, what is going on with me? What is the deal? What is the situation? Let me tell you, the unseen thing that is often going on in our life is God's trying to mold us into the image of Christ. And we miss it. We don't see it. And we don't understand it. Why is it that He wants us to be formed in the image of Christ? Because He wants the world to see God. Hey, folks, is it news to us? I don't think it is, that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God right now, and God needs some representatives right now. God needs some people who have the exact image and representation of God in the earth right now. I can tell I'm going to have to preach a long time today. I can sense it. I discern it. I feel it. God's ultimate goal for your life. Are you still sort of with me today? God's ultimate goal for your life on earth is not comfort, but it is character development. I'm going to say that again, because that goes so counter to our culture. Everything in our culture, in our world now, is about me and feeling good and bigger and better and feelings and stimulation. Folks, God's got a purpose for your life, and you're not going to change His mind. You may be frustrated. You may be like the children of Israel, and you may go around the mountain. How many of you know the journey for the children of Israel, it was a two-week journey. Two-week journey. 40 years later, they're dying off in the wilderness. I'm telling you, God's got a high destiny and a purpose for your life. And it is not always about my comfort, and it's not always about your comfort, but it is character development. This is very misunderstood today in our culture. And can I be very real with you today? It's not understood in the church anymore. It's not. We kind of think what's happening on television ought to be happening in church. It's all about stimulation. No, let me tell you, it's all about, from God's perspective, about character development. Does God want to stimulate me? Does God want to encourage me? Oh, yes, He does. Does He want me to feel good? Does He want me to have nice things? Well, I think most of the time He does. But sometimes God's doing something much deeper than that, and He's trying to develop some character in us. We're starting to get there. I said we're starting to get there. There are three things we need to understand if we're going to see this purpose fulfilled in our lives. Number one, we must cooperate with the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Did you hear what I said? Folks, let me just tell you. It is the Holy Spirit's job to produce Christ-like character in you. Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says. It says, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. Did you hear what it said? As the Spirit works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory more and more. The people who understand what God is doing right now, they are allowing God to mold their lives, mold their emotions, and do His best work in them so they can reveal the glory of God. But a lot of people have no clue about what God is doing right now. And you know what they're doing? They're getting angry at God and they're getting upset with God. God, I thought you said. God, I thought you were going to do this. You know, we get really confused on what the abundant life is. Sure, I say this all the time because I want you to know I really believe in a balance. I believe in prosperity. I believe in all these things. I believe in great health. I believe God grants all those things. But I also realize there's another side of God. He wants to mold the character of God in your life. And sometimes that means discomfort. But you got to work with the Holy Spirit. You have to allow the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, I wish there was more time to talk about this particular point because there's so many aspects of it. But I can just mention it in a general way today. It is the Spirit that produces the character of Christ in us. And how many of you know New Year's resolutions won't do it? How many? Have you ever done a study on New Year's resolutions that have never fulfilled? I mean, it's so small, you might as well not even waste your time making a New Year's resolution. I will never do thus and thus. Now, let me be sympathetic and real with you for a moment. There are a lot of addictions. A lot of addictions. And habits in people's lives right now. And I'm going to tell you, folks, in our heart of hearts, we know that God wants us to break some of those addictions. And I could start listing the top 10, and I'd probably miss you. But I'm going to tell you something. Through God's help and through God's power, we can break addictions in our lives. And let me tell you, how many of you know addictions don't develop overnight, and they don't always go overnight? Wouldn't it be great? And I love those testimonies where people say, I had this addiction and I woke up one day and I never wanted to do that again. But how many of you know for most people, you got to walk it out. And you walk it out with the help of the Holy Spirit and the strength of the brothers and sisters around you. But New Year's resolutions won't do it. And willpower. How many of you know, some of you have the strongest willpowers. I mean, people know, oh man, they're such a strong person. But let me tell you, there are certain things in this life, and when it comes to being molded in the image of Christ, you can't will it done. You can't, in your will. Sure, you start with your will and you say, I will submit to the Holy Spirit. I will let the Holy Spirit do in my life what He wants to do. But let me tell you, if you're just doing it out of your will, let me tell you, it's not going to work. How many of you know best intentions aren't enough? It is only the Holy Spirit that can make the changes that God wants to make in our lives. And the Bible says this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what He pleases. God's working in us. But if we don't recognize the kind of work that He is doing, guess what? We will miss it. And we'll throw our Bible away one day and say, you know, when no one's around, throw it against the wall and say, hey, this thing doesn't work. Now, come on. Don't be so pious. Some of you have done that before. Maybe you've not thrown your physical Bible. You've thrown it in your heart and said, heck with this God stuff. Heck with this Bible stuff. We've got to recognize God's got a purpose for our lives. And how many of you remember it starts with being a worshiper? Folks, boy, I tell you, you know, anytime you start preaching and teaching, how many of you know the enemy's going to do everything he can to keep you from being a worshiper? He is going to throw everything at you to keep you from being a worshiper. And you remember we talked about being connected. Let me just tell you, every time people start trying to get a connection going with other people, the Satan is going to throw everything at you to try to break up that connection. It's true. He doesn't want you to know your purpose. He doesn't want you to be a worshiper. And He certainly doesn't want you together with other Christians in the name of the Lord. He's going to do everything He can to break that. And let me tell you, what He does on this particular promise and this particular calling on our lives, He really gets us just frustrated. He comes when we're weak and when we're tired, and He starts doing like He does real well, just starts chatting a lot of lies to us. You know, it worked before, but it's not going to work this time. God did it before, but God's not going to do it this time. Don't you know this is a different time? Don't you know this is a different era? Don't you know there's a bad economy? God's not going to do it this time. Any of you heard those voices? God's not going to heal you this time. You know, you did this and that. The problem's too big for God. Hey, how many of you know nothing's too big for God? Nothing is too big for God. And the Bible says to him who believes, all things are possible. I'm believing for possible things and impossible things. And I believe, the Bible says, if I continue to sow seeds of righteousness, I am going to reap a reward. Now, we've experienced here in our region of America a drought, and it's been severe. But let me tell you something. I'm still going to keep planting. How many of you know, in sometimes you go through a season in your life where you feel like there is a spiritual drought? Let me tell you what you do during those times. Don't you drop out. Don't you quit. Don't you, I'm just going to get out of my small group. I'm just going to stop going to church and doing these other things. Any of you ever heard that before? What good is that going to do? I'm just going to isolate myself. Well, I'll probably preach about that here in just a little bit. But let me tell you, nothing but harm comes to people who isolate themselves. You get off by yourself and you start listening to that voice. That voice will deceive you, the voice of the devil. I'm not talking about God's voice. I'm talking about the voice of the devil. And because there's so much hardship right now, let me just tell you, that's what a lot of people are doing. And I understand the tendency to want to do that. But let me tell you, you can't do it because the Bible says a man that isolates himself or a woman brings only harm to himself. There's harm in isolation. I don't feel good. I feel depressed. I understand that. Press on through it. You know the only way you're ever going to get that stuff broken off your life? I don't feel like breaking these addictions off my life. I don't feel like walking out. Besides, I need something to medicate me in the middle of all this pain. You know the only way you're going to get that broken off? You're going to have to walk out of it by the power of the Spirit. That's the only way you're going to overcome. That's the only way. You're going through a difficult time in some relationships right now. The only way that you're going to get through those difficult times is to walk through them. Is it not true? It's true. But none of this can be done in our own strength and in our own power. I want you to listen to this thought today. Christ-likeness is not produced by imitation, but by inhabitation. Let me say that again. Christlikeness is not produced by imitation, but by inhabitation. Now let me just say this before I go to my next point. Folks, come on. What does the Bible say? The Bible says you believe on the Lord Jesus, you confess Him as Lord of your mouth. It says that you are saved and you are born again. What happens in a practical way when you're born again? Let me tell you what happens. God's Spirit comes and He makes His habitation in you. But let me tell you, you need to go to the next step. You need to make sure that you continue to stay full of the Spirit of God. Have you ever noticed when people get saved for the first few weeks? I mean, they're all just, oh, let's go win the world. Let's fill the church up. I mean, come on. And they get all excited, and then about 2 weeks later, they're like a flat tire. Because you got to go back and get filled. Call it whatever you want. You empowered by the Spirit. Baptized in the Spirit. I don't care what term you use, but right now, this is exactly what we all need to do. We need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I got it once. I walked the altar and I felt it for 2 weeks. Hey, let me tell you what the Bible says. I can show you several places where Peter went back and was filled again. Not for his salvation. Are you talking about losing your salvation? No, not at all. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about learning God's purpose for your life and how it is that you stay full of God's Spirit and you continue to cooperate with the Spirit of God. All of us understand what that's like to go through seasons where you just don't want to do it. You know, I'm going to be real with you. Every now and then I pray a prayer. Lord, help my want to. Lord, help my want to. I know what the Bible says do. I know, and if I try to do anything outside of the bounds of that Bible, I mean, here it is. You've seen the little picture of the little demon on one side, little devil over there with pitchfork. That's about really how it is. You got the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God doesn't sit on your shoulder over here, but for analogy's sake, you got a little angel over here with a halo. We all hear those different voices. I'm going to tell you something. If we don't stay full of the Spirit of God, we start listening to that one in the little red suit a whole lot more. My God, this scares me. This scares me. This scares me in one sense, in a sense that I want to fear and reverence God like I need to with what I'm seeing going on in our world. Dr. Jeremiah said it well. He said, I'm seeing things that I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. And friends, it's happening in a hurry. It's happening in a hurry. I don't know if you were here, but I believe I was prophesying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it had not happened as yet. When I said there's going to be revolt in this nation, and there's going to be groups of people gathering together, are we not seeing it? It's happening in America. Happening all over America. You can say what you want to. You can say, oh, they're just a bunch of nuts. You can do whatever. You can make it a political thing. It's not a political thing. I'm telling you what, people have unrest right now. And you know what? And I'm moving on. Every time I get on this, America's problem, I'm going to say it again and again and again. Hopefully somebody will get it. We are never going to resolve our problems in America through the right politician getting elected in. I don't care what you do, and I know I need to move on. I don't need to be talking about politics here on Sunday morning. Number two, here's another one. If you're going to be made into the image of Christ, let me just go ahead. I'm trying to be real nice about how I'm saying this. God is serious about that. And God's not going to just back off because you say, I don't want to be Christ-like. I don't want to be Christ-like. And I don't want to be molded. Let me tell you, there's something else that God uses to do this. Not only the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of people are happy as long as you talk about the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. Number two, God uses His Word. Listen, He uses people, and He uses circumstances to mold us. Yeah, He does. He uses His Word. Now, come on. I'm going to call some of you, I mean this in kind of an endearing way, you knuckleheads. How? I don't want to get people in a headlock and scrub their little scrawny heads. How we believe today that we can be a devout follower of Christ and do the works of God and never crack the book, never look into it, and never be consistent with. I want to know what's going on with people who think that way. They've lost their marbles. They're not all with us. They're a few French fries short of a mini pack, whatever you call it. Happy Meal. Their elevator doesn't go to the top floor. But I love you anyway. That's a nice way of just calling you a knucklehead. But God knows I'm speaking to another audience today. Maybe those who are viewing us by the internet or on the radio, that's for them. It's not for Church on the Rock. I know that. We've got it all together here. How many of you know that God's Word provides the truth that we need to grow? And God's people provide the support that we need to grow? And circumstances provide the environment that we need to practice Christ-likeness? Let me just tell you, beloved, God's got some of you right where He wants you. And I mean, you're fighting, you're going to get out of this little circumstance that God's got you in, and this little job He's got you in, and all these people around you that just irritate you. Let me tell you, God's using those people to mold you into the image of Christ. Now, you can be like the children of Israel and stay in that little fighting situation, that little irritation if you want to. It ain't going to work. God is love, but He's tough. Yeah. How can you be love and tough too? Because He's God. He's God and we're not. Listen to me. All three of these are vital for character development. If you study and apply, there's the key, and apply God's Word, and connect regular with other believers, there's another knucklehead number two thing, and learn to trust God in difficult circumstances, here's what I guarantee you. I guarantee you, you will be more like Christ. But because a lot of people do not understand that's what God is doing in our life, He's molding us into the image of Christ, they don't understand what He's doing, so they don't see any value in these things that I'm talking about. Now, many people assume all that is needed for spiritual growth is Bible study and prayer. That's all you need. Oh, how many of you know some of life's issues will never be changed by Bible study and by prayer alone? You know why? You know why? Because God uses people. God uses people. God wants to use people in your life. Y'all pray for me right now because I need to be sensitive. Yeah, some of you just keep people so far away. You're like, hey, how you doing, brother? I'm doing just great. Don't get into my little border. I've got a little isolated life. I love you. The weather's great. Everything good. But don't get too close to me. Christians. God's saying, please let people near you so I can mold you. So when you end your days, you can end rejoicing, saying, hey, praise the Lord, I pressed forward, I finished, I fought the good fight, and I made a difference with my life. That's really what this whole series is about making a difference with your life and not ending your days by saying, I knew I should have done, I wish y'all all forgive me. I do not want to be, you know, about to meet the Lord with everybody around me saying, y'all forgive me, y'all forgive me, I knew I should have done, forgive me. I don't want to do that. I know I should have done more for the family. I know I should have went to Bible study. Forgive me. What did it get so quiet in here for? That's all right. I'm just having a fit. It's okay. It's all right. Pray for me. I told you to pray for me. God uses people. Here's a little story to illustrate it. It was a couple that moved into a neighborhood, and the next morning while they were eating breakfast, the young woman sees her neighbor hanging the wash outside. The laundry is not very clean, she said. She doesn't know how to wash clothes correctly. Perhaps she needs better laundry soap. Her husband looked out and he just remained quiet. And every time the neighbor would hang up her wash to dry, the young woman would make the same comment. And about 1 month later, the woman was surprised to see a nice, clean wash on the line and said to her husband, look, she's learned how to wash correctly, and I wonder who taught her this. The husband said, I got up early this morning, and I got the Windex out, and I cleaned the windows. God uses people, beloved. Some of you see in life, boy, it's just dirty out there. It's dingy and there's no hope and everything's gone. Yes, I am. I'm just on the verge of, I'm about to lose it. Let me say, man, what's going on with Pastor today? I'm that close. God uses people in your lives. Come on. Or this one. I can see it. I can see it when I'm preaching. It's kind of in your spirit, you're going like, he ain't getting through to me. No, I'm not trying to, but I'll tell you who can. I can tell you who's going to go home with you. And I'm going to tell you who's going to go home with prayers that I've prayed and others have prayed. Holy Spirit. He's going to go home with you, and he's going to go to work with you. You can do this if you want to. You can ignore the vision. You can ignore what God is saying, and you can cross your arms. You can even duck out of church during the small group campaign, and you can duck out when we're talking about connection. But guess who's going to go with you if you're saved? The Holy Spirit's going to go with you, backed by some prayers of some hot, fervent saints in this church. So you might as well just do this and start singing, "I surrender all. I surrender all." The ladies do this. Just kind of, that's their mode of closing off. Men do this, men. It is definitely time to move on. Friends, God wants us to grow together. And I've been preaching this for a long time. There's the look. You remember when we started the series, Tracy talked about the look. And God knows I'm ready for people to get it. And a lot of people are getting it. But some of you are still doing this number. You know, we have people during the small group campaign, they just duck out of church for a while. I like Church on the Rock, but I don't like all that small group stuff. I think I'll just go somewhere else and do something else for a while. Don't you forget what I said. The Holy Spirit's going with you. You want me to really get good in Pentecost on you? The Holy Ghost, he's going to hunt you down. If I was a little bit younger, I might wiggle my legs a little bit and get some shuffle into it. We're joking, but I'm trying. Well, you know what I'm doing? I'm opening you up and I'm getting this in you. God uses his word. He uses people. And he uses his circumstance. You know another thing we fail to forget? We think it's just all about this life. God is trying to get his people ready to go to heaven. Everybody said, "Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Oh, Lord, let the rapture come if you believe in the rapture or whatever you believe in. Oh, come, Jesus. Come, Jesus." He says, "Well, let me get you ready for heaven. Heaven, you have to be a little more perfected to get there. I need to do a work in you so we can just progress the work on in heaven." That's news to some of you. We just forget it. This is about eternity. This is about unloading hell and populating heaven. But we just keep forgetting it. Well, God hadn't forgotten it. And so next week when you go to your difficult situation and you can't figure out what in the world is going on there, I want you to realize God is using the word, and God is using circumstances, and God is using people. You know, God usually puts unlovable people around those of us who need to learn love more. Oh, there's a few people I really wish were here could hear this. They're never here when you talk about these things. It's like they're puppets. They know when not to be here. If we need to learn love a little more, guess what? God is going to surround us with some unlovely people who can say, "Praise the Lord. Jesus is good. The blood of Jesus cleanses you." But they might still have some unperfected areas in their lives. They may still just blast off in anger and be mean as the devil. But on the positive side of this, folks, listen to me. Now I'll get to the third point. God wants to use people. We can just get over this isolationism. And this individualism, "I don't have time, I'm too busy." I'm going to tell you, it's time to go to point number three. Y'all know I cannot stand that word. Why don't you do what I was taught the other day? Instead of saying you're busy, saying, "I'm having a very productive life. My life is extremely productive every day. I'm busy. I can hear the Lord. I'm trying to cooperate. The Holy Spirit saying, "Son, it's time to move on to point number three." Here's the third point that you need to understand. I'm going to rephrase this. If you're going to yield to the purpose and destiny of God in your life. Not if you arrive there, but here's the third point today. Becoming like Christ is a long, go ahead and say it, it's a long, slow process of growth. Bless the Lord. I can get online now. I don't even have to go to the store, and I can order something online and it'll be here. If I get overnight mail, I can have it the next day. So why isn't it right that I can do that with my Christ-like character? Get online. If it's online and you go to the tab and, hey, instant Christianity, instant character. Because it is a lifelong process. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, it's not going to probably end this side of heaven. Somebody say, do you ever reach an age as a Christian where God is not molding on your life?
No.
No. Don't let that scare you. No. Because we got a long way to go. When we fail, beloved, we fail a long way. You know, and I sometimes wonder if we're not falling again. God said it would be that way in the last days. Mankind would fall to a place of depravity that would be shocking. The only problem is, I didn't think I'd be here. You know, I used to believe in the rapture. I was just going to be rapture. I still believe in the rapture. That's a joke. But I'm just not sure it's going to happen as soon as we want it to happen. Oh, yes, Lord. Spiritual maturity is neither instant nor automatic. It is gradual, and it is progressive development that will take place the rest of our lives. Now, Paul, referring to this process, he said, this will continue until we are mature, just as Christ is, and we will be completely like Him. Now, if you come to the place where you are completely like Christ and you are fully mature, then maybe you'll get a little reprieve from this character development thing, discovering the purpose of God for your life. I'm not there. I'm not there. And I've got the kind of personality that it really bugs me that I'm not there. I want everybody to turn to someone next to them and say, hey, you're a work in progress. Oh, you're good, Church on the Rock. Come on, come on, tell everybody around. Some of you just said, some of you are doing this number. Come on, unfold those arms. Huh? Oh, Lord, that's a new excuse. Just for those of you viewing, know what they said? They said, it's cold in here. I'm up here sweating, trying to figure out how to get the eye drop, the sweat out of my forehead, and they're telling me it's cold in here. This is an excuse. You know, the devil's got excuses. Some of you saying, it's cold in here. You're a work in progress. This spiritual transformation in developing the character of Jesus will take the rest of your life. And then guess what? I'm telling you something here, if you'll listen to me. It will resume when you get into heaven. And beloved, let me just close by sharing a few things with you. I wish that I had more time to elaborate on these points. But what I'm telling you today about this purpose and destiny for your life, about character development, is what God's up to today. He's wanting to make you into the image and in the likeness of Christ. How does He do it? Number one, we must cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He is the one that will give us the help. Number two, we understand that God uses His Word, people, and circumstances to mold us. And number three, becoming Christ-like is a long, slow process. I know that doesn't just give you goosebumps, but that is the reality. It is a long, slow process. Come on, God, I want it now. You ever go through phases in your life where you get like that? I want it now. How many of you have seen those commercials on television where people, I don't know, they've got some money coming their way or something, and they stand outside their window and they holler, it's my money, and I want it now. It's my money, and I want it now. God's character is mine, and I want it now. Folks, we're still dealing with the sovereign Lord, the God of the universe. He will not, as you're standing, move on our timetable. I love every one of you. But some of you came in here saying, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Now, I want to be very clear. I know that some of you are in the midst of some very difficult circumstances in your life. And I don't want you to misunderstand me and think that I'm saying God is the one that created those difficult circumstances. God's not doing a lot of things that God gets blamed for. But what God will do is He will take those circumstances and He will use those circumstances for His good and for His glory. No, God's not breaking up relationships. No, God's not dividing people. No, God's not hurting and harming people. God's not doing all this stuff. But I'll tell you what, it is in that environment in which God works. And it is in that environment that God has asked, He has made it clear, He hadn't suggested, He says, get connected. Get connected to other believers. So when you're down, they can lift you up. So when you're, see, some people say, oh, I'm not having any problems right now. Everything's great. Our life is just great. Yeah, we're a little busy. You better hear this preacher. You better hear this preacher. Your trial is coming one day. Hear me, people of God. Hear me. It's coming. And I've watched the tragedy. People who do not get connected. They enter into a state of disillusionment and they just wander off into oblivion. And you can't rescue them. And then they start blaming God. And then they get angry at God. And it's not good. Do you think God knows what He's talking about, friends? I think He does. And I want to just tell you right now, it's not too late to get in a small group. But you're going to have to undo the arms. You're going to have to quit saying, I don't have time. You do have time. Make time. And then what you'll do, you'll see God start doing some miracles. Don't get mad. Now, don't get mad. Don't get mad. Sometimes when I press a little more difficult on some of things, I'm just going to one of those churches where they just don't put so much pressure. I'm not trying to put pressure on you. My God, look into my heart. Look into the shepherd's heart. I want you connected because I have seen, experienced what connection does. And that's what this another reason we're having this small group campaign. I'm preaching these things. God wants you connected with other believers. You have so much. I'm closing with it. You have so much to offer. But if you don't do what God says and you hold on to it, then nobody benefits from it. Nobody benefits from it. I'm going to pray. Amen. Father, I pray today that all of us will recognize in a very real way that You're up to something in our lives. And really, You're about our destiny. And Lord, You're about our purpose in life. And I'm asking You that that becomes real to every one of us today. Where it's very difficult and very challenging for us in our culture today to recognize these things in the midst of the difficulties all around us. Lord, give us discernment to know what is Your hand and what is the hand of the enemy, Lord. Father, I pray that all will recognize their destiny and their purpose today, and that You are wanting to mold them into the image of Christ, Lord, ultimately so this world can see Your Son, Jesus. And for this, we give You praise. And we give You honor today. And all of God's people said a great big amen.